Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Craig
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga, we're back.
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book tomorrow?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trotting. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Alright, you're gonna learn today.
Alright, everybody, shalom. Shalom. The 12 tribes worldwide, shalom. You reached another episode of Bible Talk. And I'm your teacher tonight. My name is Meshaba. I'd like to welcome you out to the show if you're listening live. To our podcast. We do our podcast. We try and do it Monday through Thursday We try to do it from 10 a.m. in the morning to about 12 noon to catch that morning traffic, you know what I'm saying? And not to interfere with some of the evening classes that some of the schools are teaching and doing on YouTube in the evenings. But this morning, brothers and sisters, I was just tore out. So I still wanted to get it in. I still wanted to get it in, at least for the sake of the library, right? For the sake of the library, that you can access any of our shows. Right? You access any of the shows that we've done. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, we are in our 14th year, right? March 22nd. We actually crossed a mile marker of 14 years that we've been doing Blog Talk. Right, 14 straight years that we've been doing Blog Talk. March 22nd was the anniversary, so we want to keep it going. So for any of the shows that we've done in that 14 years, from myself, from Bonabod, from special teachers, Karash, from the Marshall S. Allen Mount Zion, Kawakab, from down in Guatemala, the brother Samshawan, the brother Double Yad. We had class on there from Yasha Allah, from Salama, from Taza Pa especially, and the series that he was doing on the migration of the 12 tribes of Israel from over there in the Promised Land over to the Americas, and him and the brother Bayasapar. I mean, excellent. So in our library, which can be accessed at www.blogtalkradio.com, right? Once you pull the website up, go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, boom. You're right there, and you have access to all our shows. There's over 1,000 shows. I think last count from the top of my head, 1,600 shows, I believe. 1,300 shows. It's over 1,000. It's over 1,000. But the shows are there for you, for your edification, for you to check out. So we invite you, please check it out, all right? As anybody who's been tuning into us for a while, one of our main other ways to be able to listen to any of our shows was through Google Podcasts. But Google has since merged or let go of Google Podcasts and migrated all the shows and all the podcasts from Google Podcasts to YouTube Music, YT Music. So if you log on to YT Music, go to podcast and type in Bible Talk, right? Bible Talk will come up. You'll see it's got a lion on the front of a shield. And then it says a sword of truth, right, in ancient Hebrew. So that's us. That's us. And you can access any of our shows there on YT YouTube Music, all right? We're also still on Google Podcast. We're also still on iHeartRadio Podcast and Apple iTunes Podcast. And thanks to the brother Nahar. Shout out to you, Nahar. We will be very, very soon. We're going to be on Spotify and Facebook. All right, thanks to the brother Nahar is going to help us out with that. That we're going to, our podcasts are about to go not just audio, but also going to go video, all right? So you'll be able to check us out. So our schedule of shows, as it stands right now, is Mondays you have myself, all right? And I try to get in from 10 a.m. in the morning to about 12 noon. But obviously, sometimes that can't be accommodated. We do it at, when that cannot be accommodated, we do it at 7 p.m. Right. Then we come out on Tuesdays with the series that the brother Taza Pa is doing called Never Wax Pale, or Taza Pa Tuesdays, Never Wax Pale. Excellent. So if you want to learn history, let me back up. Taza Pa Tuesdays is current events. All right. Taza Pa Tuesdays is current events. And there's so much happening in current events, brothers and sisters. Well, he matches what's happening in the world today with scriptures, and the brothers, he does a lot of research, and he really goes in depth, but he's got such a smooth way of bringing things out, and such a clarity, and when he brings things out, we invite you to please check out Talk Spot Tuesdays, the Never Watch Fell, the brothers, I mean, him, he's got his wife something out, Hasadiah, Labia Arakaya, they be really, I mean, that family's putting things together, so please check them out, that's on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, we have the Brother Nagaya back with us. Excellent teacher. His insights are incredible. So on Wednesdays, we have Nagaya Insight Wednesdays. Right? Nagaya Insight Wednesday. Well, Wednesdays. And sometimes those times vary depending on his schedule. Right? Unfortunately, this coming Wednesday, he will be away on business, so I'll be filling in for him this coming Wednesday. But the schedule is Mondays with myself. Tuesdays is Tazza Pa with Tazza Pa Tuesdays. Wednesdays is the Brother Nagaya with the guys in sight for Wednesdays. And then we come back on Thursday with Brother Tazza Pa again. Yes, y'all. We come back on Thursdays with the Brother Tazza Pa again with a series he's doing called FYI. For your information, where the brother has been compiling and getting questions and conversations that he has with. If you talk to Tazza Pa, you know he's a brother's brother, man. He loves people. He loves Israel. He loves people. We call him the mentor. We call him the professor. We call him the coach. We call him the uncle. He's got a lot of love. Right, a lot of love. So from the conversation he gets in and he has with people, he goes and takes those conversations and goes into a deep Bible search, deep scriptural search, to really make and to bring out from different conversations that he's had or questions that have been texted to him or asked to him directly, and he covers that on Thursdays with the FYI for your information. Again, doing an excellent job. Him, the guy, they're knocking it out the park. You want to check them out. And then our brother Father Broad is got Friday nights for Friday Night Bible Breakdowns. We try to do that at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Brother Broad's Bible Breakdowns. Y'all want to check it out. Brother's got a lot of insight. He's been in the truth for over 30 years. Great motivational teacher. He inspire you. I mean, you want to check him out. That's on Friday nights at 8 p.m. And then he just recently let me know he wants to start teaching Sunday nights as well, or Sundays as well. So look out for that, that he will also be picking up another show on Sundays, right, that he'll be doing a podcast on Sundays. We got to come up with, you know, the name and opening music, all that type of stuff. But that's going to be coming up real soon here on Sundays, all right? So that's our Blog Talk schedule throughout the week. You can catch up with us. And, again, you catch us at our mother station, if you will, or father station, at www.blogtalkradio.com. When you go there, go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-V-A, and boom, you have access to our full library. And again, Apple iTunes podcast, iHeartRadio podcast, and Podcast Addict, and YT, YouTube Music podcast, under Bible Talk, all right? The schools that we're affiliated with. We try and affiliate with all Israelites everywhere, but the schools that we are more closely affiliated with, here in San Antonio, we have the Sword of Truth Bible School. That has class every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., and then again on Saturday starting at 10 a.m. If you can't make it to class, you're more than welcome. We ask you to like, share, and subscribe to their YouTube channel, which is Sword of Truth San Antonio on YouTube, all right? We ask you to please like, share, and subscribe to them as they're about to have class here in about 20 minutes, all right, tonight being Monday night. Then we have a school in Houston, right, in Houston, Texas, the SOW Houston, Texas, the Stream of Wisdom, located at 231 FM Road 292, Stafford, Texas, 77477 being the address there, being shepherded or stewarded by the brother Priest Kwakizab. Kudos to you, brother, and to the families and to the men out there and to the families for the hard work y'all been putting in for Christ and the Most High. If you'd like to check out their classes, they have classes every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. To 9 p.m. And then again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. All right? Come back on Saturdays. Catch the Sabbath ceremony with them on Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. at 2 p.m. You catch them live on their YouTube channel every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then, and that's their YouTube channel, all right? So you want to check them out. If you can't actually make it to class, the brothers are doing some great classes, right, from the Brother Cleft is out, the Brother La Corab. They're really doing some great work out there. Please like and share and check them out. For our school in Norfolk, Norfolk, Virginia, SOW Norfolk, Virginia, Stream of Wisdom, located at 2610 Grabby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517 being the address there. That, of course, is being shepherded by the brother, the priest Kazakia. They have class every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then again on Saturday, starting at 12 noon. You can catch them on Facebook Live at SOW Norfolk, Virginia, Stream of Wisdom, every Tuesday and Thursday on Facebook Live, again, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then catch their YouTube channel, SOW Stream of Wisdom, Norfolk, Virginia, every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then Saturday starting at 12 noon for the Sabbath ceremony, all right? The brothers Bachar, the brothers Ariah, Kazakian, they're handling their business out there. Check them out, all right? Do yourself that favor. Like, share, subscribe. Check them out. Again, you can see them also on Facebook Live. All right, for our school in Rochester, which is growing by leaps and bounds, look at it, 1600 Lyle Avenue, Suite Number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606. Being the address there, and that is being shepherded and guided by an outstanding brother by the name of Zion, Priest Zion. All right, SOW Rochester has classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. That's their YouTube channel from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at SOW Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom. And they have class again also on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. The brother Zion Allen, the brother Shaquat, the bar, they out there doing some great work, y'all. Check them out. You also like, share, and subscribe to YouTube channels, The Hidden Truth Bible Show, The Israelite Media Corps, 5 Minutes of Wisdom, and also Hidden Books. All right, check them out. They're doing it. They're doing it. That's all I can say. If you're not going to take the time and go and check it out, you're missing out. All right? I'm not going to give it a review. I ain't going to do anything. I'm just leave it like that. If you're not going to take the time to go and check it out, you're missing out. All right? You are missing out. And then we also have our brother, Aisha Rogers on, the brother Mike Oliver. All right? With the Fountain of Wisdom. The brother Mike Oliver has been doing the Fountain of Wisdom for over 20 years, over two decades now. Catch him on Facebook. All right? Catch him on Facebook on the Fountain of Wisdom. And they have the Friday night Psalms and Proverbs readings that they do. And they're also coming back on Saturday mornings, Torah reading. Saturday morning, Sabbath mornings, Torah. If you never read the Torah, that is an excellent class. That is one heck of a class. And the brother Michael Ollis is knocking out with, along with the brother Aisha Wajazah. Yeah, great insight, great wisdom, knowledge and understanding coming from those resources that are there for you. All right? Check them out. All right, check them out. You can reach out to Brother Aisha Wajazah at area code 505-218-4218. All right. With that, this is part of the, where I'd like to send up prayers for brothers and sisters across the country that might have some specific things going on, that we ask the community to please add these names to your prayer list as well, because we know that it says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. All right, and that we want to esteem others better than ourselves. That if you're going through something, brothers and sisters, Christ has the remedy. So if you're going through, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling no one cares, you're feeling abandoned, you need comfort, you're going through that depression, and we all get hit with it. Don't please believe, we all get hit with it. Well, the key to that, the key to overcoming that, that Christ gives, is not to binge watch Netflix, not to binge watch YouTube, not to binge watch porn, not to just go to the gym and work until you melt, but to esteem others better than yourself. All right, to put others first. Think about what other people are going through, and try and help them through what their problems are. And that's how Christ will send a comforter to you. That's how Christ will come and sup with you and carry you through the trials, tribulations, afflictions that you might be going through personally. So with that, I am listening to this prayer up. You're welcome to join me. If not, don't worry about it. Christ did say you want to do your prayers in private. You want to do your prayers in private. But I just want to make sure that these names get out so everybody knows to pray for these names. All right? So I'm going to ask that the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to seal, to strengthen, to help, to protect, to build up, and Father, to please forgive. And Father, we ask, as it's recorded in the book of in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, that it says that the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And we lift up, Father, Kobe Cruchet, right, the brother of Rapah. We lift up to you, Father, the sister Yapiah and her sister Arlene. We lift up to you, Father, in prayer, Tina Gomez. Father, we lift up our brother, Abiyar, up there in Omaha, Nebraska. Father, we lift up to you our brother, One Iron, and his wife, Ayana, and her brother, Cammy, and their nephew, Chad, and their nephew, Cammy, Father. We lift up to you, Father, Bobby Dixon. Father, we lift up to you, Sierra Leek, the daughter of our brother, David, up there in Dallas. Father, we lift up to you, the uncle and Amma, the uncle and auntie of Israel, Tom Racha and his wife, Waradiah. And Father, we also lift up to you, their son, Kazak, who happens to be in jail right now, Father. Please touch his heart, Father, and be with him and protect him, Father. Father, we lift up to you our friends in Albuquerque, Becky, Daryl, and Carmen. Father, please be with them. Father, I lift up to you the entire Lovett family, including Aunt Sally, Ernestine Morris, Charlie Westbrook, and Edna Jackson. And Father, I also lift up to you Yasariah. Father, we lift up to you the entire Coates family. Father, we lift up to you the entire Coates family, including Shapar, Rashwan, and Marari, including a friend of the brother Gabar Kawa, Gina Robinson. And Father, we lift up to you the brother Gabar Kawa. Father, we lift up to you the brother Salman Mayam out there in Houston, his wife Sharia, and their son Benaya. Father, we lift up to you also the brother Salman here in San Antonio, West Beverly. Father, we lift up to you some special needs children. The daughter of Tazapa and his wife, Arakaya, their daughter, Cece. Father, we lift up to you the daughter of our brother, Gabar Kawa, and his daughter, Aiza Lee. And Father, we lift up to you the daughter of our brother, Barabai, and his wife, Kladisaya, their daughter, Aliyah. Father, continue prayers going up for Tazapa and for his mother, Miss Catherine, and for Miss Catherine's help, Father, Miss Barbara and her husband, Mr. Charles. Father, our friend and our brother, Yenawathan. Father, we lift up to you our brother, Gabar Ya'ala, his wife, Aisha, and her mother, Lucy Mae Johnson. Father, continue prayers to go up also for our brother, Shankar Das, and his wife, Mariah, and their son, Kazakia. Father, continue prayers going up for our brother, LV, brother Levander, and for his mother, Pat Washington, and for his cousin, LaShonda Washington. Father, continue prayers going up for our Bonaparte's wife, Quadis Shire, Father. Father, for our friends, Sean Stark, Sylvia Khan. Father, we lift up to you our brother, Yamar, who happens to be locked up right now, as well as our brother, Kazakabar, who really needs your help right now, who's also locked up right now at this time, Father. And Father, we lift up to you, Father, the sister, Ainawa, the daughter of our brother, Gayalaba. And Father, as it says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, and they shall put your name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So Father, we ask these things in the name of the reputation and the example of Christ who prayed for others instead of himself, Father. So we do these things that you might be with each one of these people that we ask for, Father, that your glory and your power might be shown in them, as that they might be witnesses of your glory and of your might and of your healing power, Father. And we thank you always. And Father, I forgot to add to the list. Please forgive me. The brother Isaac Wajizar and his children and his granddaughter, as they're going through troubles and tribulations and sicknesses, Father, please touch each and every one of them, protect them, heal them, help and guide them as well, Father. And I will get their names on the list. Forgive me for that, Father, please. We ask you all these things. Thank you always. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, so we got that knocked out. We got that up. We got that together. All right, brother, you know, I see you on the chat board. All right, cool, cool, cool. Good to see you. All right, good to see you. Remember that. All right, brothers and sisters. Let me get my head together. Let me get my head together. I'm going to take a quick bio break. All right, I'm going to take a quick bio break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into episode 19. Build your house upon a rock. Build your house upon the foundation. Episode 19. And this part of the series, we're going to be going into let the wicked forsake his ways. All right? Let the wicked forsake his ways. And again, remember, we're in a series right now, brothers and sisters. We're in a series. So I'm going to recap a little bit of episode 18 that we did, and then we're going to continue on with episode 19. So with that, let's get a little bit of back to life, a little bit of back to reality, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned and stay tuned in. We'll be right back.
Alright, alright, alright. You gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You gonna learn today.
And hopefully that's the case, brothers and sisters, that we are going to learn today. All right? Hopefully that is the case, that we're going to learn something today. All right. So with that, kind of recapping just briefly, some of the last scripts that we was going over on episode 18 of Build Your House. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, right? Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, in the King James Version, it reads, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." But sisters, let's not forget that, you know, it was Paul who also told us, in Corinthians, as a matter of fact, that the things written aforetime were written for our learning, all right, that the scriptures were given to us so that the generation to come, that we might praise the Lord, right? That we might actually praise God. And I cut the scripture off. Let's just get that real quick. And now everything wants to go slow. Everything wants to drag out. I used to read the cell phone. I used the phone here a little bit. When we go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, but it says in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4, it does read, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. All right? That, and keep that in mind, that the reason that we have the scriptures, the reason that we have the Old Testament, as well as the Apocrypha, the reason we have these writings, Paul was trying to remind this to the church that was at Corinth. And he comes back and he warns Titus many times and Timothy many times to hold on to the things and give yourself over to reading. Pay attention to reading. And again, there wasn't no New Testament when Paul was evangelizing. All right? There was no New Testament when Paul was evangelizing. So the reading that we had to pay attention to was the scriptures. The learning that we should be giving ourselves over to is the scriptures. As a matter of fact, as I'm thinking about that scripture, you know, as we're talking about it, even Christ said what? Give me 1 second. I got to look it up. I want a partial match. Check. Oh, come on. Really? Let me stop playing. We'll go to St. John chapter 7, verse 38. That honestly is getting frustrated and drag this out. So St. John chapter 7, verse 38. It says, and this is Christ speaking, right? In St. John chapter 7, verse 38, Christ himself says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Christ is giving, I mean, a big Easter egg, if you will, a big chance, a big message, a key to the kingdom of heaven. If we're going to believe on Christ, he says we have to believe on Christ as the scripture has said. All right? And St. John 5:39. I ain't pulled these in a minute. A little bit rusty. And St. John chapter 5, verse 39, let's remember. Again, the words of Christ, this is what Christ said. Christ said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All right, so what's he saying? One, if we believe in Christ, we have to believe in Christ as the scripture says. And when he said this, there was no New Testament. So the only scriptures that he's saying that give evidence about who he is, we have to go back to what the world calls the Old Testament and the Apocrypha, all right? We have to believe on Christ as the scripture has said. St. John 5:39, we have to search the scriptures. Why? For in them, you think you have eternal life. That's where you're going to meditate, and hopefully your meditation turns into action to give you eternal life. That the meditation, you're thinking on the scriptures, you're meditating on the scriptures, and that leads to action. The action leads to eternal life. We stop sinning. Because what is the wages of sin? What is the wage or the payback for sin? What is it that you earn as we're in the tax season right now? What is it that you earn? What are your wages? All right? The wages for sin is what? Death. So now we want to come back now and meditate. Think about the scriptures. We want to search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. That's where you're going to meditate about the scriptures, and hopefully your meditation leads to action, which leads to stop sinning, which leads to eternal life. And then he goes on to say, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures, if we was in a court of law, the scriptures testify of Christ. So from Romans chapter 15, verse 4, things written the fourth time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope, all right, that we might have hope. And I find myself, brothers and sisters, I start losing hope. I start having real bad, I don't see the good I don't see the outcome of things turning out good. There's a real propensity. I'm going to use that. We're trying to up my vocabulary. A propensity to always think about the only luck I have is bad luck. Nothing good is going to ever work out for me. That I can't seem to get out from under this rut. All right? A person slips into the abyss the more they're not using the tools that Christ gave us, which is the scriptures, which is the word of God. All right? So we want to make sure that, again, things written aforetime written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. So when we start to lose hope, we start to lose that comfort. But why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I putting up with this? Why am I fighting? Why am I trying? It seems like it's to no avail. It seems like I feel like for those of you that are older and might remember the Rocky series. I believe it was Rocky's second fight. He's training on the beach, and his heart's not in it. His head's not in it. Maybe it's the third fight. One of the Rockies, and remember Adrian was saying, "You can't win. You can't win." You know, just increasing the blow of taking away his confidence, of taking away that support. All right. So sometimes there's a lot of times we might feel that way. Well, that's when it's time to meditate on the scriptures. And then not just meditate on the scriptures, do the scriptures. Right? Not the hearers of the word are justified before the Lord, but the doers are justified. So we want to make sure now we're meditating on the scriptures, and that way, and then we're doing the scriptures. What we have to be careful of is now 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. All right? That's the King James Version. That it is stated, I fear. But that's by any means. As a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. That our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, one thing I want to do, brothers and sisters, is let's check out 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 from the Common English Version Bible. King James, beautiful. That's going to be the anchor that we're going to use all day long. But let's check out the Common English Version of 2 Corinthians 10 to 11 and verse 3. And it reads as such. But now I fear that you will be tricked, just as Eve was tricked by that lying snake. I am afraid that you might stop thinking about Christ in an honest and sincere way. Neither translation is wrong. The King James Version is not wrong. The Common English Version is not wrong. But I like the points that they both hit on. But in particular, that I'm afraid, from 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 of the CEV version, I am afraid that you might stop thinking about Christ in an honest and sincere way. And what we've been building up, brothers and sisters, as we're here in episode 19, is the importance of what are you building your foundation on? What are you building your house upon? Remember, Christ told us about those who build the house on the sand. That you're building something. You're trying to build your faith. You're trying to build your belief. You're trying to build your efforts. But are you building it based on something that has no foundation, like sand? And then Christ told us that if you build your house upon the sand, you put the work in. You no doubt put the work in. Hell, look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Those construction workers put the work in, but they didn't put enough work in. It was not originally designed to be the Leaning Tower of Pisa. if you came the Leaning Tower of Pisa, because the foundation that that tower was placed upon, was built upon, was weak. But the work was put in. They no doubt put the work in building that tower. And for those who might not know what the Leaning Tower of Pisa is, with Google, Siri, Apple, whatever, you can go look it up. It's a tower that was built that literally over time has been leaning a little bit. I mean, it's leaning. It didn't start that way. It started standing up straight up. But it started to lean because of the foundation. The foundation is what they built, the dirt, the ground underneath the tower. It wasn't prepared properly. And like the parable that Christ said, if you build your house upon the sand, that when trials, tribulations, the wind, storms come, it's going to beat upon that house, and the house is going to fall because it's built on sand. The foundation, the belief, is not strong. All right? The facts or the things you're using to establish your belief is not really strong. It's not really grounded. It's not really firm. And you built the house, but it can't stand in such a time. You're building something, but as trials, tribulations, afflictions, life's storms come, you're leaning. You're about to fall. It's about to fall because the foundation, which is supposed to be the rock, which is supposed to be Christ, wasn't there. All right? And as we were going through the series, as we, again, we're now in episode 19, that the importance of making sure we stick to the scriptures, that we apply the scriptures, and that there has been a work that's been by the enemies of God, I'm going to say it like that, in an effort to try and keep the true believers away from God, away from that 144,000 that needs to get sealed. There have been tricks. There have been distractions. There have been things that have been designed to get us away from thinking about Christ in a honest and sincere way. And therefore, there's many, many, many things in this world, in this modern world, as well as in the past, that led the Israelites away from their sincere worship of God and started getting themselves mingled in with a lot of the customs, a lot of the culture, a lot of the festivities, a lot of just the everyday customs of the nations. And there's been a mingling of Israelites with other cultures that goes totally against what God's about. Remember, brothers and sisters, and we've covered this in other series. I'm not going to go all into it today. Remember, God wanted the Israelites to be holy. And the word holy means to be set apart. That's the definition I'm going to go with today. It means to be sanctified, which means to be cleansed, which means to be set apart, special. Not like everybody else, because our God is holy. He's special. He's separate. That's why one of the titles we give him is the Most High. He's higher than any other gods anywhere. He is the Most High. And he told the Israelites, be ye holy as I am holy. I don't want you to be like everybody else. The way you worship is going to be different from the way anybody else worships. The customs, the traditions, the lifestyles that God wants the Israelites to exemplify is not going to be anything like what the nations. It's not going to be anything to mimic or incorporate things that the nations do to run into the worship of God. And mind you, Christ did tell us in St. John chapter 4, verse, let's get that real quick. Let's get that real quick as you move on. St. John chapter 4. I'm starting verse 22, and I'll read down. St. John chapter 4, verse 22. It reads, ye worship. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's looking for the true worshipers that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we know St. John chapter 17, verse 17, that God's word is the truth. So God wants to know who's going to worship him the way he wants to be worshipped. Remember this, brothers and sisters, as we talk about the serpent beguiling, tricking Eve from corrupting her mind, that we would stop serving Christ in an honest and sincere way. Brothers and sisters, let's go back to Genesis. Remember, the things written before time were written for our learning. Let's go back to Genesis. Chapter 4. I'm starting at verse 1. Let's remember this, brothers and sisters. Let's remember this. St. John chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a killer of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. This is what I want to get to here, brothers and sisters, verse 3. Cain and Abel brought offerings to God. Cain brought an offering to God from the work of Cain's hands. Cain brought an offering to God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did God have respect unto Abel and his offering? Brothers and sisters, not to go into this rabbit hole too deep, by saying that, I don't want to pull a lot of scriptures right now and start a whole separate class. But we got the answer for this in the book of Hebrews. That'll be somebody's homework if you're going to look at it. I don't want to go there right now. But in the book of Hebrews, it tells you that all things are purged by the shedding of blood. And without the shedding of blood, is nothing purged. Now, is it just the shedding of the blood? Is it the ritual of just shedding the blood? Is that what takes away sin? No. No. What the in killing the firstlings of the flock, lambs, goats, bullocks of a year old, innocent, tender, that because of whatever choices the transgressor made. Now this 1 year old animal now has to die and shed his blood because of choices that we make. That, brothers and sisters, is supposed to mark your conscience. That because of a choice you make, something has to die. An innocent animal, a one-year-old sheep, a one-year-old calf, a one-year-old goat, a one-year-old lamb now has to perish because of your decisions. That, brothers and sisters, is supposed to mark your conscience. That's what the mark, not your conscience, all of our consciences. The damn, this animal, an innocent animal who had nothing to do with my choice, now has to die. I have to watch this animal have his, I slit his throat. First off, I have to confess to the animal why he's dying right now. That's part of the confession. The confession is not what, like what you see in the Catholic Church, the confessional. Confessing was, when we go back to the scriptures, I'm not going through the whole thing right now, of hunting down each one of these scriptures. But when you buy the sin offering to the priest, and now this animal had to die, you had to confess out loud to the priest and to this animal why this animal is about to die. What is it that you did? Then now this innocent animal, a one-year-old animal, because that's the sin offerings, was of a year old. This one-year-old animal is going to be taken from his mother, taken from the rest of the sheep, the goats, the cows, the livestock, separated from its own family because of a choice we made. And then we have to now watch this slit this animal's throat, watch it gurgle on the blood as the blood comes out, collect the blood, and then pour it out. Like, what a waste. Then now this one-year-old animal would now have to perish because of choices that I made. That's supposed to mark the conscience, to have a person repent. And because of my choices, something had to die. Since I wouldn't kill my own desire, I won't kill my own lust, my own covetousness, my own anger, my own grudges, my own whatever it might be, because I won't let go of my emotions. So I react and act however my emotions lead me, wherever my heart goes. That now this animal, an animal, I keep striking on that note, that chord of a one-year-old animal. Or turtle dove. If turtle doves are the sign of peace in the world, why does this turtle dove have to die? Have his neck run out, his head popped off, and the blood come out because of choices we make? That's supposed to give a person a conscience, not to make the same choices. We didn't take it that way. So when Abel brought this offering to the Lord, the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. That's why I have respect for it, brothers and sisters, to kill the firstling, to kill that one-year-old animal and shed his blood because of the choice. I mean, that's supposed to get the conscience. That's what God had respect unto. Not just the fact that an animal, he didn't make it on the animals just so we can go around just killing the animals, just murking animals. That's not what it was for. This firstling, this one-year-old sheep, cow, goat, lamb, had to now perish because of our choices. As much as people are like, oh, such a cute little lamb, a cute little goat. You're right. Now, why does this innocent animal have to perish? Because of a choice you make, of a choice I make. So Abel, the sacrifice Abel brought, God had respect unto. The offering Abel brought, God had respect unto, because they have to watch this animal die. And they have to go through now cutting it up, harvesting this animal. And they're taking all the intestines, the heart, the lung, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, the tongue, and now go and burn it. As this animal, I had to go through all that because of the decisions that I made. And for that to mark the conscience, God has respect on that. Just to bring some fruit, what conscience would a person have because you brought some apples, some mangoes, some kiwis, some jackfruit? You lugged a damn watermelon. What is that supposed to do for a person's conscience? To bring fruit, to bring plants? Not a damn thing. Not one damn thing. So, Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So Cain got pissed off that his offering was not respected by God. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to fall into the same mindset. That's why the title of this class, Build Your House Upon a Rock. If you're going to put the work in to build something, make sure you're building it the way God wants to build it, not just the way you feel about it. Make sure that God recognizes what you're doing and so that your work will be recognized. Otherwise, I don't know how many scriptures are in the Bible talks about what you're doing is vain. In the eyes of God, it's worthless. And you might be putting a whole lot of work into what you're putting together. And brothers and sisters, we get that example from Genesis chapter 6. From Genesis chapter 5 to chapter 6, we get that same example. When the sons of God, who were the Adamites, started mingling with the daughters of men, having children, and then worshiping their ways. And it says they became giants. They became mighty men of renown. They built great cities. They built great monuments to leave a mark that they were here. All before the flood. And that's what everybody's mind was given to, making a name for themselves. Being known. I can't be a nobody. I got to be known for something. That was the mentality. And they put a lot of work into those things that they built and they put together. And what did God do? He swept it all away with a flood. For those great cities and monuments and things that people built on the other side of the flood, name one of those cities. Remember, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Those mighty men became men of renown. They were famous. Name one of those mighty men on the other side of the flood. Name one of their achievements that they worked tirelessly at, that they put painstaking effort into. We can't. It all got wiped out with the flood, with God's flood. All things survived was Noah's wife, their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. God started all the way over with Noah and his three sons. So, I'm trying to help give some of these examples that don't get caught out here putting a lot of hard work, painstaking effort, a lot of sleepless nights into what you're working on, and it's the wrong offering. That is not nothing that God wanted, but it's something you put together in your imagination. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Everybody follow their own imagination. They follow their own dreams and aspirations and their own definitions. And they put a lot of work into those things, and it was wiped out with a flood. They didn't have scriptures. They didn't have history to look back upon. They didn't have the prophecies of Christ to help them. They had no prophesying for 100 years. But they didn't stop them from them doing them. We don't want to be there. So, all that, to, again, remind us of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, from the King James. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The common English version. But now I fear that you will be tricked, just as Eve was tricked by that lying snake. I am afraid that you might stop thinking about Christ in an honest and sincere way. Don't let the things of the world, the things around you, get you cut up to where we stop thinking about Christ in an honest and sincere way. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, the book of Proverbs now, chapter 21, verse 2, it says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You have a sense of what that's saying, brothers and sisters? It might seem much to you, but God is sitting there saying, what the hell are you doing? Who told you to put that together? Where did that come from? These are some of the things, brothers and sisters, we want to make sure we're careful of. That every way of man is right in his own eyes. Every man can justify why they do what they do. But is your justification based in the scriptures? Is it based on God's will? Is it based on what God wants, or is it appeasing some type of feeling that you have? This is what we want to be careful of. That we don't want our minds to get corrupted, defiled, dirtied, messed up, that we stop thinking about Christ in an honest and sincere way. What was also a young man cleansed his way? By taking heed thereunto according to that word. So from there, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 6 through 9. Right? The book of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. And it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And brothers and sisters, in this series, we're on the 19th part of this episode, 19th episode of this series, we went over that, how God will hide his face from, how God hid his face from the Israelites. Because we kept desiring to mingle ourselves with the nations. We kept desiring. Just like a parent, you don't want your kids to get involved with the bad element, the criminal element, the juvenile element in the world, the drug dealing element in the world. Hopefully a parent doesn't want that. And that same mentality, God did not want that type of mingling with his chosen people and the rest of the world. But we kept running to those elements. We kept running to those idols, those gods, those lifestyles. So God hid his face from us. And that's when the Israelites have gone into every single captivity and oppression, because God hid his face from the nation of Israel. So we're being reminded here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Do not seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We have the scriptures now, brothers and sisters. You have to see. We can stop having. You have to seek. Now, oh my goodness. I'm gonna read this again. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Where? Where should we be seeking the Lord that he now might be found? Many of us that come from a religious background might say, well, yes, seek your heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That a man's heart, a person's heart, humans' hearts are more wicked than anything else on the planet. That's what God says about our hearts. So how do we seek the Lord while he may be found? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Dum, dum, dum. And, see, I'm doing to myself again. I need more sound effects. I need more sound effects. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, and verse 16. The book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16. Brothers and sisters, hold on 1 second, please. Give me 1 second. Please give me 1 second.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today. All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All right, so Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Right? That's what it says. But seek where? We know we're not supposed to seek a dream. Ooh, God must be in a dream. Or as this recent eclipse just passed, the world is now seeking signs from God, seeking signs, omens, seeing all type of things from the eclipse. They're seeking tarot cards. They're seeking zodiac signs and horoscopes. They're trying to find the Lord. Those things were given because God hid his back on us. God turned his back on us. God hid his face from us. But now God's given us a chance to now actually seek his face. He's now opening himself up. He's given us the opportunity to now actually find him. So, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek what? Seek where? Not your hearts. Not our hearts. That's for damn sure. God forbid a dream. Didn't Martin just follow a dream? Where should we be seeking the Lord at? Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16 has that answer. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Because, brothers and sisters, to walk through this, I'm going to add so many more episodes to this topic already. I'm trying not to. To seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I'm asking if y'all remember that in the book of Daniel, God told Daniel that everything that he saw, write down, but it was going to be sealed. The understanding of what Daniel wrote down, the prophecies that Daniel wrote down, were going to be sealed until the time of the end. That's in the book of Daniel chapter 12. When we go through the book of Revelations, we read about the seven seals. And that one of the angels, that John Miller was crying that nobody was worthy enough to open the seals of the book. But the lion of the tribe of Judah opened the seals thereof. And the seals of the book was the seals of the Bible. I mean, the understanding of the prophecies of the Bible. That they were sealed. That no matter how many times you read the Bible, through how many generations of people read the Bible, God had a seal on this book where the understanding of this book was not going to be open. That's why we have over 41,000 different Christian religions in the world today. Because God sealed the understanding of this book. Remember in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, he says what? That he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. His servants, the prophets. The ones teaching his word. The way it's supposed to be. To unlock. That's why he said, what did he give to Peter? The keys to the kingdom of heaven. The precepts. The scriptures. To the keys to the kingdom of heaven. How to get to heaven. So if we're going to seek the Lord, where he may be found, where should we be seeking the Lord at? Out of the book of the Lord. You might notice the theme, brothers and sisters. You might notice the theme that how it all circles right back to the Bible. It all circles right back to the scriptures. The theme is written aforetime for our learning, that with you comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Search the scriptures, for in them be thinking of eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Give attention to reading. It all circles life back around the word. And Abraham believed God's word and was counted to him for righteousness. Going back to the word, going back to God's word, doing God's word. Christ said, "What? Who is my family? Who is my brothers, my sisters, and my mother? Those who hear the word of God and do it." But the hearers of the word are not justified, but the doers are justified. Be ye therefore doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a theme there, brothers. There's a theme. It's almost like a time loop. Almost like a Doctor Strange portal that keeps bringing you right back to the same spot. Keeps bringing you back to the same thing. Keeps bringing you back to the same thing. Keeps bringing you back to the same thing. The word, the scriptures, the word, the word, the scriptures, the word. Come back to the word. Come back to the scriptures. Seek out the book of the Lord and read. Seek the Lord by him being found. Because there was a seal on the book. That's, our parents didn't have it. Our grandparents, the book was sealed. Our great-grandparents, the book was sealed. They were illiterate for the most part. They didn't even know how to read. My grandfather had a third grade education because it was required for him to go work to help the family out in Louisiana. I'm talking about my grandfather on my mother's side. Remember, a lot of y'all don't remember this, but there was a time when all that was needed was reading, writing, and arithmetic. The three R's. Reading, writing, even though writing is supposed to be with the W, reading, writing, and arithmetic, even though it's supposed to be arithmetic. The 3 hours. Many of our great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, only know how to sign their name, sign an X as their name. They're illiterate. Again, God hiding his face from us. Which goes through with the prophecy, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. Wherefore I made a minister unto thee to reveal the mystery that's been here for ages and for generations, but now it's been made manifest to his saints. God's understanding has been hid, has been sealed until this time. Go back, come on, y'all. Hopefully y'all ain't so caught up into whatever binge watching you're into or songwriting you're into that you remember Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of the dry bones, that they were very dry. That the angel of God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And what was Ezekiel's reply? Lord, thou knowest. Imagine being in a pit full of nothing but skeletons. White, bleached skeletons. No flesh on them at all. No flesh, no sinews, nothing on them at all. Sun bleached from the sun, just white. And the question being asked, can these bones live? Which, for people who have no understanding of God, how God does things, that's where y'all get the damn thing about zombies from. That's where y'all get that madness about zombies and the zombie apocalypse from. From Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones not being buried and the dry bones coming together. It's funny how nobody puts together. In Revelation chapter 11, where it talks about, and their dead bodies shall lie in the city of the great, lie in the city, that great city, which originally called Solomon and Egypt, how those great bodies are going to be lying in the streets of the city. And the correlation that those dead bodies, as well as Ezekiel chapter 37, those dead bodies, Ezekiel 37, is talking about the exact same thing. And that those bodies in Ezekiel chapter 37 is the whole house of Israel. Dead. Because Proverbs 11:21, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding, or Proverbs 21:16, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. I know I just went through a lot in that right there, which will hopefully cause you to go back and listen to the show on YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio broadcast, Apple Podcast, or Podcast Addict. I like that. I know I just dropped a lot on it right there. So getting back to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6, and Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, we can now read. And now we can now read the Bible with the understanding that we're the Israelites, not Baptists, not Methodists, not Episcopalian, not Seventh-day Adventists, not Episcopalian, not some damn Masons. That's a damn hell. Not even damn Americans. But now, to make an understanding, we are the Hebrew Israelites from the prophecies. That this book was hid from us. There's been a famine. Not a famine of bread and water, Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Not a famine of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God. But now that we can read, Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now God can be found in his book, in the book that testifies about Christ. Okay, John 7:38. Y'all see how this kind of, see that? Don't let them fool you. Oh, no. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now, again, it's even with the series, the episodes that we're on, we understand how much darkness the world has been in and how many other cultures have been allowed to thrive and to grow and to prosper in this wicked world that have absolutely none of God's blessing, have absolutely none of God's approval. And we're not seeking out of the book of the Lord to read, how does God feel about this ritual? How does God feel about this apparel? How does God feel about this lifestyle? How does God feel about it? Now we can go read how God feels about these things. It's not a mystery. We can now go and read about how God feels about these things. Is God really with the LGBT, the alphabet people? Is God really with the small hats? Is God really for peace in the Middle East? We can now go and read. Does God really want peace on earth, goodwill towards men? Or did Christ come back and say, I think not that I come to send peace on earth, I came not to send peace but a sword. Now we can seek and read the actual book. So now, from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, now it says, let the wicked forsake his way. Because now we can come back and see the things that God calls wicked. We can come back now and see that, oh, man, everybody does this over here, but God thinks that that is wicked. Birthdays. As we're going to get into this class, hair weaves. Makeup. Men go to the gym to get six-pack abs. To get the 22-inch pythons. That God is not with those things, as well as the Sunday worship, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. But some of those a little bit more interpersonal things, we can find out that God is against. We can now seek out the book of the Lord, and we can read. And now it says, let the wicked forsake his way. And y'all know Psalm 17, verse 4. Helps us define what makes a person wicked. Where God is not in your thoughts. To what you, remember St. John 7:38? Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. That's where you're thinking about eternal life. That by searching the scriptures, you can forsake sin, which is the wages of death is sin. What you earn from sinning is death. But now we can meditate on the scriptures and do what the scripture says. We can forsake the wicked things that we've been doing that God calls wicked and have life, the life of one of his chosen. The life of St. John 4:23, the true worshipers who are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. For God seeks such to worship him. We can now go read and put these scriptures together to forsake the wickedness. So Isaiah chapter 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The unrighteous man, I don't see what's wrong with this. you know what? That's how y'all do things. I'm going to do things my way. You know, my thought is, I don't think it's really that bad, girl. I don't see what's wrong with Tyler Perry putting on a dress. It fed him and his family to where it made him a multi-billionaire. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't see nothing wrong with the demasculating of men, black men. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it's funny. It's entertainment. If you're going to take it serious, then there's something wrong with you. I don't see what's wrong with, if I want to get a little bit of self-esteem, I'm going to put weave in my hair. I don't want to hear God says the reason that I got no hair is because I'm haughty and I'm already prideful. That's why I don't have the length of hair. I'm going to go ahead and go with my thoughts, and I'm going to go buy some East Indian hair. I'm going to go buy some horse hair, and I'm going to weave that into my own hair to give the false, lying image that I'm a good person. Because now I've got long hair like everybody else. Now we can go back and forsake the unrighteous thoughts. We can now let them go. I can say, I got to make sure I get to the gym. Not for my health. I got to get to the gym to make sure I keep a six-pack. I need to work on my deltoids. I need to work on my pectorals. I need to work the core a little bit more. Because I got to be sexy. I'm too sexy for my... Somebody that are older might remember that commercial. I think it was a song or something. I'm too sexy for my... too sexy for my... Really? I know some of y'all very older listeners might remember that Saturday Night Live. We're here to pump you up. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way. And... unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and God now will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What did you say?
Message.
But if we're not going to seek out of the book of the Lord and read to find out what things need to be purged, cleansed from our mind, from our culture, from our lifestyle, from our way of thinking on a national level, that we do these things, that the Father will abundantly pardon. That's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Verse 8 now. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The way we've been doing things is not the way God does things. And if we're building our house, our faith, our foundation on sand, when God comes to judge, you're not, whatever it is you're working on is not going to stand. It's not going to make it. Remember, he told us, every man's work is going to be tried by fire to see what sort it is. Are you building your house out of stubble? Are you building your house out of hay? Are you building your house out of wood? Or are you building your house out of precious stones? Or are we building our houses out of gold? each man's work is going to be tried to see what sort it is. Reading on, verse 9. For as the heavens, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We always keep trying to bring God down to our way of thinking instead of us elevating to his way of thinking. We forever trying to make sure somebody's understanding where we're coming from. Ever in that battle, in that conflict, in that struggle to make sure people understand me. We're forever caught into from the depression, from the this struggle, from getting into schizophrenia. No one understands me. So I'm going to be an asshole. I'm going to be pushy. I'm going to be whatever. You're going to understand me. If you don't like me and the way I am, to hell with you. I'm not going to let nobody walk all over me anymore. I'm going to be heard. My way of doing it is I'm going to be me. I've got to be me. That's an old ass song, old white people song, white girl song. From My Prerogative to whatever the hell some of these new rappers, the Cardi B's, the Megan Thee Stallions, whatever the hell they're singing these days, that you're going to just do you. You're going to be heard. You're going to express yourself. You're going to do what you like. And that mentality is going to get a lot of people. When judgment comes, your house is not going to stand. Your house is not going to stand. Your offering is not going to be respected. This thing that you're working hard on to make sure you're heard, you're seen, and your way of doing things, that's not how God wants things done. You're going to make sure you leave your mark and people know that you were here. You know, the brother guy, I always use that example on Wednesdays. I love him for it. He talks about how people get road rage. He brings that example up a lot, how people get road rage. Why are you getting road rage? Because you figure somebody cut you off in your lane that somehow that street you're driving on, the lane you're driving in, somehow you have possession of it. Somehow street you're driving on, because a car got in front of you on the street you're driving on, that you feel like someone is intruding upon your possession. Or you're in your lane of travel and somebody's trying to get over, and you make sure you speed up because they're not going to get in front of you in your lane. Because it's your lane. That whole aggressive mentality is stupid. You let yourself get angry. People are getting shot because of their sense of possession that this street, this right here, we're driving. We're going at least 30 miles per hour, all of us, and you made me have to slow down to 20 miles per hour. I'm mad now because you got in my lane. Obviously, you never stop and listen to yourself at all. You sound like a bumbling idiot. What the hell you mean, your lane? Ain't you turning up the next one anyway? And you don't let this upset you this bad? Really? Because you got in my lane. You're trying to get over in my lane. This is ridiculous. So, and then we want justice because somebody got in our lane. Those thoughts are not God's thoughts. your sense of you need to feel a sense of justice. You need to feel a sense of retribution. God don't look at it that way. You said some people, some Israelites are actually sending up prayers because their car gets cut off in traffic. I've seen a meme. I never understood the correct pronunciation of that word. A picture with words on it. It was on Facebook, and it was a picture of a highway sign. The one that goes across the whole highway. I don't know where it was at. That's not important. But it said, "How many of you are tired of getting speeding tickets? Raise your right foot." Because at first, you know, just to read it first, you know, how many of you are tired of getting speeding tickets? It would be like, yeah, you damn right I'm tired of getting speeding tickets. I should be able to drive as fast as I want to drive. But it went on to say, I guess this was the municipality's way of bringing some humor, like, slow the hell down. You ready to get into a protest mode? But hell yeah, they need to stop writing these damn speeding tickets. I got a place to go, people to see, things to do. I woke up late. I don't get up in enough time like I'm supposed to, so I'm running late. So I have to speed, and I get a ticket. Well, if you're tired of getting tickets, this is what the sign said. If you're tired of getting tickets, raise your right foot. Now, for those that drive, you know your right foot's the gas. That's the gas pedal. I don't care if you're driving a stick or automatic. The your right foot is the gas pedal. Just slow down. It's not yours. I'm only using this example about road rage or whatever to give an example that the things that we think about and are important to us, God's like, I'm not thinking about those that type of stuff. Y'all are wasting your time with that. The things that you want revenge for, the things you want to be acknowledged for, things you want to be seen for, be known for, God's like, that's not important to me. If you would seek out the book of the Lord and read, you would know these things. And now, all right, cool. I'm gonna turn my back. I'm gonna turn my face back towards y'all. I'm gonna give you an opportunity. Now, you've been to school. You can read. Now, if you chose reading comprehension not to be your thing, and your enemies have made sure that you don't get into reading comprehension, okay. There's tutoring. I feel like that. There's tutoring available. How else can you forsake your thoughts, the unrighteous man his thoughts, or the wicked his thoughts, if you're not going to go and read God's judgments? And have a joy for doing God's judgments and not like our forefathers. Y'all remember this. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 28? What was one of the reasons why the Israelites got cursed? Well, we go to Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 45. Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Why? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We stop listening to the voice of the Lord our God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. Verse 46. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Verse 47. Why? Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. We didn't serve God with the joy that we're serving the Most High God. It really kind of blows the mind from the very, very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over everything on living thing on the planet Earth. When you have dominion, you're not working the fields. You're not working for a paycheck. Is that how what God is doing in heaven? That he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness? That he came right back and said, let them have dominion? Dominion. Everything on the planet Earth. Remember, but to be in that, put in that position, we didn't have, Adam didn't have a joy for being put in a position of being the representative of God on the planet Earth. To be the representative of God, to be made in God's image on the planet Earth, to have dominion over everything, and there was still a lack of joy. To have dominion over the planet Earth and following his woman and what she found to be pleasure, pleasant to her eyes, what she found to be wisdom to her. He followed her instead of continuing to follow God. There was a lack of joy to follow God. And we were on top of top of the world. And we had a lack of joy then. So he came back and said, what? Get out of paradise. Now go work for everything. Now in the sweat of thy face, that's how you go eat now. Now take your ass to work. And now the earth is going to give you thorns and briars and all that type of stuff. Now, go work. Take your ass to work now. Get out of paradise, because we don't serve God with joyfulness. I don't like serving God. God, I don't like doing things your way. God, why don't you be more of an open mind? And God, why don't you see things my way? I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get until you see things my way. Why don't you take the time to come off your high horse, God? God, if you were a little less conceited, or God, you're a jealous God. Who wants to serve a jealous God? Ugh. God, you're toxic. Yeah, I'm going to do what you said, but damn, I really don't want to do it. First chance I get, I'm going to do it my own way. Have dominion over every damn thing. The hell with that. I want to do it my way. And God, if you took the time to God, you say you love me, God. Then God, why don't you take the time, God, to see things my way, God, if you say you love me. Come off of where you're at, where you're looking from, where you're trying to elevate me. Come down to my level and see things on my level, God, if you love me. And God is saying, your thoughts ain't my thoughts. Your way of doing things is not my way of doing things. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Meaning your thoughts are little. Your thoughts are petty. God's trying to elevate us. to his level. It's all right there in Genesis, the first chapter. I mean, damn, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over everything. No, I don't like that guy. There's got to be something more to it. God, that must not, there's a deeper wisdom somewhere. God, what you're presenting is not pleasant to my eyes, God. God, the other nations ain't got to do it that way. Why can't we be like the other nations? I know you call them beasts, but God, if you took the time to ever talk to them and see that really, they put one pants leg on at a time like I do, even though the women and the men do it. Yeah, they might have same sex, but I mean, they do repopulate, God. I mean, damn, don't you give them some credit? A woman goes against her will and lets some guy get on top, and they have sex, they can repopulate. But after they do that, what's wrong with her going back to girls? And what's wrong with him going back to the guys? I don't have a problem with that, God. I don't see why you do. God, I don't see why you got to be so judgmental. If you took the time to figure out and to find out where they're coming from, God, you know, God, maybe you need to go to, you know, anger management. God, maybe you need to go to a therapist. And maybe you'll see that really they're not that bad. And really, a lot of things that they do, I agree with, God. I really do. God, maybe you should give love a chance. A little bit of love is all it takes. God, a little bit of love goes a long, long way. God. Well, God, I choose them. Because you, whatever you got going on, God, you just don't get it, God. You just don't see it, God. From there, brothers and sisters, let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, and that knowing the time, then now that it says, seek out the book of the Lord and read, seek God that while he may be found. Now we should really be understanding, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Then when God chose us, let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness. Ooh. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let me pull that up. The book of Romans, chapter 13. Verse 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. That's what I need definition for rioting. Rioting is reveling, indulging in excessive feasting. Mm. Oh, when you go a lot of places with that. Let me see something. Where's the compare? And the AFV, a faithful version Bible for Romans chapter 13, verse 13, it says, let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and emulation. I got to salute the brothers from Sakari. They're the first ones I saw really open up and go into the other versions of the other Bible versions. And to read, the reason, let me, before we get on that tangent, the elders pushed very heavily, rightfully so, to use the King James Version Bible. And when you compare the King James Version Bible to some of the other version Bibles, yeah, we did say that they were flawed. Because when you read the King James Version Bible, you can go through certain scriptures like Job chapter 30, verse 30, Song of Psalms chapter 1, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2, James chapter 2, verse 7. You can go through certain scriptures, and you can see the color is in it, Jeremiah 8, 21. You can see colors in there. You can definitely, 11, 6, 4, 8. You can see the color of the Jews, the color of the people is in there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. The color is definitely there. But some of the other newer versions, there's no way you can make the correlation to the color of the people, to the Jews being black, to the Israelites being dark-skinned. You can't make the correlation. So that's why they were so against going through these other versions, because they purposefully took out any references to the people of the to the Jews, to the Israelites being people of color. That was done purposefully. But to come back now and look at, besides trying to use these other or the other versions of the Bible to prove the color, which by now, if we're starting to try to prove the color of the Jews, of Christ, of the Israelites, there's something wrong. We'll do it, but then there's something wrong. But now to come back now, and I had an aversion to these other versions of the Bible. I avoided them. I mocked them. But to come back now and read some of these things now that I've got a grasp or understanding and full belief that when I open the Bible and I'm reading, it's automatic now that the people of the book, I'm reading about dark skin people. I'm reading about my people. I'm not trying to put like I'm still seeing white bodies with black faces that I'm super imprinting. No, this is niggas. It's our people. It is 100% our people. So getting past the color and now looking at some of these other versions to get some understanding, oh, my goodness. And the first ones I saw do it, I'm going to give them a shout out to Gorilla Hebrew, Deacon Sakari, and Hassad. Outstanding. So now, when we read this, and I see my time getting short. When we do read Romans chapter 13, verse 13, from a faithful version, it says, let us walk decently, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and emulation. There's sensuality, y'all. Sensuality. Devotedness of the gratification of the bodily appetites, free indulgence in carnal or sensual pleasures. Sensuality. Those pampered animals, the rage in savage sensuality. They avoid dress lest they should have affections tainted by any sensuality. So, devotedness of the gratification of the bodily appetites. You're devoted to the gratification of the bodily appetites, to be free of free indulgence in carnal or sensual pleasures. My goodness. So when we come back and we're looking at where it says now, let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity. He's already covered it right now from ho-hopping. He's already covered ho-hopping right there. But then he goes into and addresses sensuality. And we have now associated sensuality with self-esteem. That go with what makes you feel good, feel sexy, feel strong. Go with your feeling. Cater to your senses. But he says, let's not walk that way. That's not decent. It's not in strife and emulation. We're going to check out the ASV, the American Standard Version. It says, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Nice. All right, the BBE, which is the Bible in Basic English, right? Yeah, the Bible in Basic English. It says, with right behavior, as in the day, not in pleasure making and drinking, bad company and unclean behavior, not in fighting and envy. Oh, my. Ooh. I can make class over series over each one of these. Oh, goodness. All right? There'll be a few more of these, and we're going to call it tonight. Call it a night for tonight. The CEV, just to make sure, the CEV is the, comma is the contemporary English version. The CEV is the contemporary English version. And it says, so behave properly, as people do in the day. Don't go to wild parties or get drunk or be vulgar or indecent. Don't quarrel or be jealous. Pretty good ones. The Darby Bible. The Darby. What does it say about Darby here? It's the Darby Bible. As in the day, let us walk becomingly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and lasciviousness, not in strife and emulation. The Douay-Rheims Bible. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy. Impurities. From the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. The ESV of Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. The Exegesis Ready Research Bible. I just like saying that because that sounds scholarly. The Exegesis Ready Research Bible says, let us walk honestly or decorously, like with decorum, as in the day, not in rioting or carousing and drunkenness, and, intoxication, not in chambering, coition and wantonness, lechery, not in strife, contention, and envying zeal. The Good News Bible from Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us conduct ourselves properly as people who live in the light of day. No orgies or drunkenness. No immorality or indecency. No fighting or jealousy. All right? I'm not going to read the Haitian because I don't speak Haitian right now. So if I say, we got this one. The JMMT, the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. This scholar right here, boy, the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament for Romans chapter 13, verse 13. as within the day, we should or we may or we can walk about, which equals live our lives respectably, reputably, decently, with good form, mannerly, pleasing to look upon, presentably, not in festive processions or orgies, revelries, excessive feastings, carousing, and collective drunkenness, intoxications, nor in beds, an example, sexual interludes, and outrageous behaviors, vices, loose conduct, indecencies, not in strife or contentions or contentious disposition, and in jealousy or envy. Something else, y'all. Let me get one more. LITV, which is the literal translation of the Holy Bible, the LITV. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in carousings and drunkenness, not in cohabitation and lustful acts, not in fighting and envy. So with that, brothers and sisters, we're going to end episode 19 with that right there. Now, we're going to end episode 19 with that right there. And let me see if we got some text messages that I didn't see. And we have, you know, let's see, you got the bomb on the baby. Yes, sir. All right. With that, brothers and sisters, and let's see, you, it's not giving me the time when you drop that. All right, brothers and sisters, with that, we're going to end today's show with that. It's been 2 hours. We're going to end that in this class with that right there. Tune in tomorrow for Talks About Tuesdays. I haven't communicated with him today about the show tomorrow, so I'm not sure what time he's going to be doing it. It's going to be at 10 a.m. or 7:30, but I will definitely post it. All right? I will definitely be posting it. For our education. All right? So with that, brothers and sisters, thank you for tuning in. And with that, I'm going to say shalom.
Shema
Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.